The relation that should exist between teacher and students. July 27, 1902. Typed. Teachers and students are to come together more closely in courteous, Christian relationship. In the way that some teachers have of managing, there are many strange, objectionable things. Those teachers and students who come into fellowship with one another will learn much. The teacher is to remember that in his work he is to be a learner as well as a teacher. The students will make many mistakes, and the teacher is never to forget to be pitiful and courteous. He is not to speak one cold, unkind word. Never is he to seek to show his superiority over his students. All, both teachers and students, are the Lord's property. The greatest teachers are those who are most patient, most kind. Such teachers are indeed a help and a blessing to their students. They are determined to learn and to obtain victory after victory in winning their students to Christ. And by their simplicity and their willingness to learn, their students are encouraged. It is such teachers as these that are needed in our schools. True knowledge gives us the ability to apply to ourselves the great, grand truths of the Bible. To know how to apply and communicate truth is a wonderful science. Let it be plainly understood that the teacher makes a great mistake who thinks that he has no more to learn. The teacher, who thinks that because of age and acquisition of knowledge, he has no more to learn, should understand that he needs to know how to communicate the truths of the Word of God in a pleasing, simple style that will bring out their attractive beauty. Some place the crib so high that those whom they teach cannot reach the food. They forget that the students have not had 1/100th part of the opportunities that they have had to gain a knowledge of God. They are too high up on the ladder to reach down to them a helping hand, warm with tenderness and love and deep, earnest interest. Let them step down from their exalted position and say to the students, "I will no longer stand so far above you. Come up with me. We will see what we together can gain from a study of the Scriptures." As Christ has said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." So I say to you, let us step together. Let each one say, "Nothing that I am is credited to me." Christ is the one who imparts all knowledge. You and I will find our power in learning from God how to understand the truths of His Word and how to place these truths before others in their beauty and simplicity. As I try to teach you, I receive ideas from the great teacher. Thus, I multiply my resources. I am learning how to advance to greater knowledge of the precious book that brings to you and to me sanctification through the truth. I desire to consecrate to God all that I have and am. I give myself to Him. I ask Him to fill my heart with love and meekness. Let us draw together. I have nothing that you cannot receive if you will open your mind to Christ's teaching. The Lord has given His life for you and for me. The Bible is your guidebook and my guidebook. Let us study it together. By asking questions, you may suggest to me ideas that I had not seen before. It may be that your way of expressing the truth we are studying will bring great light into our class. If my explanation of the Word of God differs from your previous understanding, do not hesitate to state your belief. Precious light will shine upon us, as in the meekness and lowliness of Christ we study together. This is the way in which the schools of the prophets were conducted. Time was given in the class for a study of the ideas presented. Hearts were warmed, and the voice of praise and thanksgiving was heard. The sacred gospel was humanized, as in the teachings of Christ. Much was accomplished for both teachers and students. Time was given for each one to partake of the heavenly repast, to study the truths presented, and then to add the ideas that he had received from God. In our schools, the Bible is to be made the foundation of all the education given, and the teacher is to say to his students, "I know that in order to teach successfully, I must every day be a learner. I desire, in every lesson given from the Word of God, to find increased knowledge concerning myself and concerning God." When the right spirit is cherished by the teachers and students, they will have special grace from God, enough for each, enough for all, enough continually and forever. As the teacher learns from the divine teacher, the Bible becomes a lesson book such as God designed it to be, giving clear conception to those who strive to grasp its grand and glorious truths. As the students search for the truth as for hidden treasure, their minds are enriched with the highest of all knowledge. Their education sheds into their minds a flood of light on the problem of human life. They see how it is possible for men and women to be sanctified through a belief of the truth as it is in Jesus. The Revelation of Truth. It is now time for many mysteries to be comprehended through the revelations given by the great teacher. He places in the hands of his servants a key to the truths of his word. He teaches them the meaning of sanctification through the Spirit. He applies truth to the intellect and to the heart. The lifting up of Christ's countenance upon the human agent, the glorious light shining from his face, makes all things clear. The knowledge of God is the knowledge of all truth and is the beginning of all understanding. It is our righteousness, our sanctification, our redemption. It is a knowledge of God that makes us complete. It is by eating the flesh and drinking the blood of the Son of God that we gain eternal life. The truths of the Word of God are as the leaves of the tree of life to those who receive and practice them. But before man can receive these truths, he must realize his need. He must feel a soul hunger. Then he sits at the feet of the great teacher who is life, eternal life, to all who receive him. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Matthew 11, verse 29-30. What makes the burden light? Looking to Jesus, beholding his character of spotless purity, and by beholding, becoming changed. Self, the old, disobedient nature, dies, and Christ lives in the heart. The man is born again with a new nature. The newborn child of God begins to have some conception of what God is. To all intents and purposes, truth is truth to him. He has caught a glimpse of Christ's glory. A keen sense of his accountability to God quenches the unholy ambition that keeps upon the soul a galling yoke of guilt. The light into which he enters is softened and subdued, tempered to suit his condition. By daily beholding Jesus and striving to practice his virtues, his spiritual perceptions grow clearer and stronger. God says, "A new heart will I give you." Ezekiel 36, verse 26. Every learner may be renewed in knowledge and true holiness. The ransom of an enslaved race was Christ's purpose in coming to this earth. What a pity it is that human beings cannot discern their own weakness. What a pity that they enslave their souls by lifting themselves up unto vanity. Christ alone can make us free, and when he makes us free, we are free indeed. His power breaks the yoke of bondage that binds man to the great deceiver, the originator of sin. But how many there are who are unwilling to allow Christ to break their shackles? How many there are who choose to cling to the thraldom of sin? The gospel of Christ is truly believed only when it is practiced. Faith is justified by works. Self must be hid. Christ must appear as the chiefest among 10,000, the one altogether lovely. When an unreserved surrender of the powers of body, mind, and soul is made to the Savior, self no longer strives for the mastery. What man needs today is the crucifixion of self and the revelation in his life of Christ, the hope of glory. Then will be fulfilled the words, "Ye are the light of the world." Matthew 5, verse 14. Then will be answered the prayer, "That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us." John 17, verse 21. In thought, word, and action, Christ's followers will be an exemplification of godliness. An atmosphere of peace will surround them. Step by step, let us follow on to know the Lord, treading in his footprints, striving to live his life. He says to his followers, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Matthew 5, verse 14, 16. From the lives of God's children, the bright light of purity, of honesty, of unselfishness is to shine forth. As yet, we have scarcely been a light in the world because we cling to our sinful, corrupting practices. We have been too well satisfied with the twilight glow of heavenly enlightenment. We have not yet gained the experience that will make us feel at home in heaven. As yet, we are but stepping over the threshold of the sanctuary containing the truths which every child of God must receive and reveal to a world lying in wickedness. This do, and thou shalt live. What shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? This question is answered by the daily life of the genuine Christian. The life-giver knows perfectly well what we must do. To the lawyer who put this question to him, he answered, "What is written in the law? How readest thou?" The lawyer replied, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself." And he said unto him, "Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live." Luke 10, verse 25 to 28. These words plainly outline the terms upon which we may secure the life that measures with the life of God. This lesson, so simple, so plain, given in so few words, sheds upon the world a flood of light. "This do, and thou shalt live." Verse 28. None need walk in crooked paths. In that hour Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, "I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight." Verse 21.